This is the January 2013 Grillo Health Information presentation on resiliency.
Next on our panel, I'm going to go down here to the end, is Dr. Heather Fliega, who's a holistically oriented general practitioner medical doctor, and she holds her practice in Lafayette that is called Partners in Health. And truly, she partners with her patients in healthcare, and that is her passion. Tonight, she will be presenting on the topic of empowering patients in their medical care.
Hello, how is everyone tonight? I am, as Ariel told me, a family practice doctor, and I wanted to thank her for putting this together. I think I was the difficult child because I didn't feel like any kind of an expert on resiliency. I had to sort of remind myself what it was. I don't use that language in my day-to-day practice, but she brainstormed with me and we came up with a topic that I feel very passionate about, partnering with your healthcare provider. I have been in practice for a number of years, over a decade, it's hard to believe, and before I was in medicine, I knew how essential having my physician be a part of my decision-making and just a part of my healthcare made my outcome so much better. I had some health issues as a child, and that really made a huge difference when my doctor listened to me. Even as a child, it can make such a huge impact. So we're gonna talk a little bit. I gotta get used to all the props here. So again, we're talking about resiliency, and my talk really is also about resiliency, but it's through forming partnerships with your physician because, I'm gonna move this off the stage, because that really is a key, in my opinion, to being more resilient, having a physician that you partner with. And how many of you actually feel like you have a physician who you partner with? That is great, but it's less than half the audience. So partnership is defined in most dictionaries as working together as a partner, which isn't much of a helpful definition. So what is a partner? A partner is one associated with another, especially in an action. I think that's perfect for the doctor-patient relationship. What is the action? The action is helping you get better, helping you get over an illness. The next definition, one who is united or associated with another in an activity or a sphere of common interest. What's the common interest? You, your health. You want a physician that wants to work together with you to help you get better. So how is healthcare partnership and resiliency related? Let's go back to resiliency. I picked these definitions because I think they fit really well with healthcare. The ability of a strained body to recover its size and shape after a deformation caused especially by a compressive stress. Well, that's a lot of words, but I literally look at that, let's just say the strained body is your neck or your back and the compressive stress was a motor vehicle accident. Who do you go to when you have something like that happen? You go to your doctor, usually. The second definition, the ability to recover from an illness, depression, adversity, or the like. If you're ill, you'll often go to your healthcare practitioner. If you think you're depressed or having issues with your mood, you will often go to a health practitioner. I want to back up and say that the talk is on your healthcare provider, and I think that can be anything. It can be a nurse practitioner, a physician's assistant, an acupuncturist, a osteopath, naturopath. Whatever it is, you want it to be a true partnership where there's listening involved and support. So can resiliency improve through healthcare? I'm borrowing some information from Ariel on this. In children, since resiliency increases by having supportive relationships that create trust, encouragement, and reassurance, a physician should be in the perfect role to help this. The patient is often brought to them with their parents. They've undergone an illness. They're going to have surgery. There's some stress in the family. That physician is often the first point of contact. in adults, since adults can have improved resilience with increased connections, a physician is a connection. In today's world, you don't have a lot of time with that physician, but they really are a connection, and ideally, they're there to connect you with other people, such as therapists. And what I like to do is utilize support groups. So the physician is the connection, but ideally, they're also getting you connected with other support systems to help you through these difficult times or an illness. I believe that in either situation, it can only happen if it is with a physician who works with you in a supportive partnership. So, do you guys think that, I'm ready for my little video, I don't know if, do you guys think that in today's medical system, we have supportive partnerships? Some do, some don't. So I'm gonna show a video, and this is a dramatization. It's actually two of my coworkers who volunteered to help me. And, but I wanna say, and go ahead and play it, because the beginning.
If I could maybe
So what I wanna say is, yes, this is not, I'll let you listen.
Yep.
So think about while you're watching what is missing from this interaction. If anything, I think most of you will agree there's something missing that you can't really call this a supportive partnership.
Yep.
Hi, this is Gladys up front. Dr. Fine, your next patient is here. Smith.
Send her in, Gladys.
Hi, doctor.
Hi, what can I help you with?
Well, I've been having trouble sleeping for the last couple of months. I've not really gone through this before, and I was wondering if I could maybe figure out a way without taking medication to attack this problem.
Have you always had a hard time sleeping?
No, just the last couple of months.
Any family history of cancer? Any health issues?
My father passed away suddenly 2 months ago of a heart attack.
Okay, good. Any family history of cancer or diabetes?
No.
Okay, well, let's run a few blood tests. I'm going to put you on Ambien and go with some Valium for the anxiety. Careful, that stuff is addictive. That's a Gladys up front.
Thank you, doctor.
Yeah, good luck.
Anything missing from that interaction? It's not an interaction? Yeah. The interaction is missing. What's interesting is, this is sort of a farce, but I do want to say that almost every piece of this was a story that a patient actually relayed to me. In fact, the week before I made this video, a patient said the nurse brought them in the room, the physician was facing to the side, they came in the room, the doctor never looked up at them. She was obviously coming to see me as a new doctor instead of that doctor, but unfortunately, I think that that has become a little bit more common in our current medical system, and some of it can be explained, maybe they have time constraints, but I really think that is obviously not the only thing that's missing. So what do we want? I'm a patient too. What do I want? What do you want from your physician? There was actually a study or an article in a journal in 2003. Guess what? We want eye contact. That was missing from that interaction and from many that I hear about. We want partnership. We want communication, time with our doctors or nurse practitioners, and we want appointment availability. I really believe that eye contact and communication are an essential part of partnership. So we want partnership. And is it just a warm and fuzzy thing that we want? We just want to have this little happy partnership? Or does it make a difference in our health? Guess what? It makes a difference in our healthcare. They've done numerous studies, and I'm just listing two here, from different eras, but they essentially say the same thing. The study in 1989 looked at four clinical trials. They all showed better physiology, which included reduced blood pressure, improved blood sugar control. So these are very measurable things that improved, as well as day-to-day functions, such as being able to have go to your job, take care of your children. All these things in subjective improvement, feeling better, feeling happier, healthier, these all improved when better communication occurred between the patient and the doctor. To me, that's no surprise, but it's been studied. So the second one in 2011 showed a physician's ability to explain, listen, and empathize with a patient increased the patient's ability to follow through with treatment plans, initiate self-care, such as getting exercise, doing things for yourself, and preventive health activities improved physically, and that included blood pressure, blood sugar, I think even cholesterol, and increased patient satisfaction. So what are some steps to forming a partnership? I read a lot of different material and studies and what should I use. I'm just using this as sort of a simple guide. These are five steps written by Dr. Leona Wen, and I think it's a good starting place when you're trying to develop or create a partnership with your doctor. You want to find a doctor who agrees in shared decision making. That's sort of essential. You have to express your intent to work together as a partner in your health. It helps your doctor if you tell a clear story and make sure that you understand any test that's ordered and why. And last, make decisions together with a diagnosis in mind. So what are traits of a doctor who shares in decision making? First, a doctor should listen to you. That's pretty key. And they should seem to care about your situation. Obviously, you want them to really care, but it's hard to measure that. But they should seem to care about your situation. And a doctor should ask you if you understand or if you have any questions. So signs to be aware of, which I hear about a lot, are impatience and defensiveness. And that is probably not going to be a physician that you can really partner with. So express your intent. This is best at the beginning of your initial appointment, but I think even if you have a doctor or practitioner now, say it now. Tell them now you really want to work together and be a part of the decision making. What is telling a good, clear story? This is essentially helping the doctor by giving them all the essential information that will best help them determine either what you have or what tests need to be done and treatments. So you start at the beginning and you go chronologically. You describe the severity of the symptoms, and I think pain rating scales are really good. My pain, you know, 0 to 10 or worst pain I've ever had in my life. How have the symptoms impacted your life? I think a doctor really needs to know, have you missed work? That's a pretty huge issue, and they need to know, are you not able to sleep? Because that's gonna affect so many parts of your life. Use simple language, not medical terms. You would think we should tell the doctors that, but really, patients try to help, and I think it can confuse the issue sometimes. Just use your basic, simple language. And tell the doctor or practitioner up front, is there something that you're worried about? Do you think you have cancer? Do you think you're having some sort of heart issue? Because I think they should know that you're worried about it so they can order the appropriate tests so that you'll have some relief from the outcome. And this probably should be number one, but write it down. Take a journal of what your symptoms are. Take a journal of what has helped, what has hurt. Bring it to the visit because you've got, 15 minutes with the doctor, but it might actually be 3 when you get done with the nurse and have your time to talk. You want to be prepared. This next one I think is so important today because the x-rays, the CAT scans, all these things that are being ordered are very expensive, and you want to understand what is the x-ray that's being done? Why is it being done? Will the test change the management of your condition? If you think you have a broken rib, an x-ray of the rib isn't super expensive, but it costs money. Really, the treatment for a broken rib is waiting. There's not much you would gain from getting that x-ray, but if you had some shortness of breath, you don't remember falling and hurting your rib, but it kind of seems like it's a fracture of the rib, you might benefit from an x-ray because the doctor may need to know what's going on inside your lungs. So, and then what are the risks from doing certain tests and procedures? I would want to know this. If there's something that's going to be harmful, you should know that. It's your right. The test should be done, this is sort of what I talked about, to help find a diagnosis. And then if there are treatments, you should know how long the treatment is going to be for. What, when should you feel better? Are there any side effects? And it is so much your right to ask if there are any other alternatives. Don't just take what the doctor says as the only option. It may be that they just want to get you out the door. It's your body, it's your health. You should ask if there's any other option to treat your condition before you agree to something. So what is a provider's role in the partnership? You can't actually change them, from what I can tell. But this is really what you're going to be looking for. You want listening skills. You want a doctor who makes sure you to use terms that you understand or ask you if you understand everything. And ideally, you want to have enough time to address the issues. The last one, most important, is compassion. What is compassion? I think it's one of the hardest things to define. And because I love the dictionary, I'm going to go right back to the dictionary. A feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for others, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. Those are words. I still think it's hard to really define that. It's a feeling. What does it look like? I think all these pictures represent an interaction, or you feel that there's some compassion, even between the polar bears. Now, in all honesty, they could be mauling one another, but it looks like they're sharing a moment of compassion. So I thought I'd put it in there. So how does compassion feel? To me, that is the bottom line. There aren't any words, in my opinion. There aren't really pictures. It is a feeling, and I think someday we'll be able to measure it, because we're going to have the ability, and we already have it. I don't know if you're going to be talking about this at all, but we can measure heart rate variability and electromagnetic waves coming off of your heart. So I put this picture in here because I like it. And if you can see, there's two hearts, and they're intersecting in the sky. And to me, this is the closest representation of what compassion between a patient and a physician really is. It's the physician coming from their heart, being heartfelt, trying to meet the patient where they are, feel what the patient is feeling, and help guide them to feeling better. So because it's a partnership, guess what? You guys have... is this on? Yep. So the first one, we've talked a little bit about prepare for every visit. You want to write down your symptoms, timelines, and what you've tried. Bring a list of medications, vitamins, supplements. This is so important because, especially with the supplements, people think it's natural and healthy, and sometimes they really interact with other medications, and you're getting sick because you're actually on a healthy supplement that's interacting with your Coumadin, so, or blood thinner. So you really want to bring all that information with you. Bring a list of any recent tests. Part of what I was going to say on the understanding the tests, again, people have high, do you guys have high deductible plans in this room? So what I've seen happen is a doctor orders a CAT scan, even some of the blood tests that are a little bit more unusual, checking for some kind of DNA. If you have a $5,000 deductible, you have to pay for that entire test. So you, if you've had tests done, bring them to your appointment. You also want to bring a written list of what you want to talk about. And the next one is connected to this one. Be honest. I think that the thing I see the most happen is people bring a list, not very often, but when they bring a list, it's somewhat like David Letterman's top 10 list. You start with number 10 being a mole on your elbow that showed up, and then you go to number 9, which is your heel started to hurt 2 weeks ago, and number 3 might be a little bloating and gas, or number, you go on and on, and the number 2 and number 1 are things like, I have blood in my stool, and I've been having chest pain for 2 months. My mother, who's 81 years old and a school nurse who works with severely handicapped, when I was telling her about this talk, she said, I do tell the parents to make a list to bring to the doctor because it's so hard to remember all the things going on with these kids. But she tells them to bring 2 lists. I've almost never had a patient do this, but it is really the way to go. I highly recommend that you have a list that you read off of, but you hand a list to the doctor. Because I think that it will just make it easier to determine what really is the most medically serious. I'm not sure why it happens like that. I think that patients are sometimes afraid to go to those really serious topics, or it may be that you don't realize how worrisome having black stools or bloody stools is. So next, take an active role by asking questions and learn all you can about your health problems. If you're gonna use the internet, try to use the national organizations like the Center for Disease Control, American Diabetic Association, because this can really be messy when you start using the internet because there's a lot of different information out there. Use Grillo, yes, and I'm learning all about that tonight. The last one is probably the most important. Have compassion and respect because some doctors are actually human. I think we all are, but we have a difficult time in our medical system feeling human and being human. So just try to not have doorknob remarks when they're about to leave the room. Realize that their time is limited, and a doctor can have a bad day. That just happens sometimes, and having that compassion and respect is so important. We need mutual compassion and respect. And thank you. The last slide is just resources that I think you can get from the Grillo Center. Thank you.
This program was recorded by me, Shelley Schlender, on behalf of KGNU and the Grillo Center. The music is by Boulder's Little Lights Children's Choir. You can hear more of these programs, find hot links to the experts, and see video highlights by going to the website eatyourradio.org. Click on the Community tab and look for Grillo.